It's not metal. I'll tell you that right now.
No, I have not.
Okay.
Because so, I thought he had something that was involved with wrestling recently too. Or am I mixing up my headlines?
I think that's somebody else. You could be right. I don't remember the thing with Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's I don't know offhand, but this guy. So the video, I don't know why people spend so much money on videos to begin with. Like, who cares? And then the other thing is, so it's basically the first part of the Bible, and this is like a rap song. So the words don't even make sense for the video, but he is Eve. And so there's a snake going through the garden, and then the devil, then the snake turns into the devil, and they fuck. So then, you know, he as Eve tries getting into heaven. Well, you can't because, you know, fall of man. He goes down to hell, where he proceeds to give the devil a lap dance, and then the devil fucks him in the ass. And I'm watching this video going, what's this got to do with the song? Like, I'm totally lost here. Like, what? So,
yeah.
It's going to be a lot to get me to be outraged about anything. I mean, a lot. So I'm watching this going, okay, my first thought was like, is this guy gay? And which apparently he is.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay. And I guess the name of the song at least told me was like, Come Say My Name or something like that. So as the devil is railing this guy, he's saying, like, say my name or something like that. I'm like, I don't know what I'm watching, but apparently it's the big thing with, like, parents are mad about it.
Oh.
And it's like, okay. Like, we had Marilyn Manson. Before that was, what, Motley Crue? Weren't they the bad boys?
Yeah. Guys? Yep, you could have definitely gone with them.
Yeah, AC/DC, Alice Cooper, going all the way to the 60s.
Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, yeah, duh, forgot about him.
Yeah, Bats, yeah, so it's like, hey, and all that.
Twisted yard. Sister, the entire reason the PMRC existed. Like, okay, it's just weird to me seeing people's reactions to this. Like, oh my God, what am I supposed to tell my kids? And like, and he actually said, he's like, not my goddamn problem. Talk to your kids about it. Ain't my problem. I'm like, well, he's right. And I'm like, that's been the argument when we were little. Like,
oh,
this is still going on?
Well, people and are just
still getting mad about this stuff?
Yeah, and there's so much access to, like, even that one aside, like, I'm like, it's easy access for this stuff. Like, kids know how to get around your locks, I'm going to guess, one way or the other. Like, we knew how to get around that stuff. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and assume that the children of today know a route around whatever mom and dad do to put a hamper on their fun, whatever that might be.
Yeah. Yeah, just like we did. Yes. Like, we were always ahead of our parents. It's utterly ridiculous, like, to see this stuff. And for me, my biggest thing, like, outrage, if you want, was like, why spend so much money on this? Who the fuck cares? Like, who watches videos anymore? To be completely honest, the only reason I knew of this guy is because people were complaining about it on Facebook.
Oh.
Okay? Or at least folks like, have you heard of this little Nas thing? I'm like, I've heard people don't like it. So then I go and watch, and I'm like, okay, here's the thing. If you would have kept your goddamn mouth shut, I would have never known.
Oh.
This person would have never known. It wouldn't have turned into the story to where your kids go, wait, my parents don't like this? Right to the phone and look it up if they hadn't already. I mean, that's what we all did. That's what you're supposed to do when you're young. Just how quickly, and it's our generation the ones doing it too, which is just, that's obscene to me. You guys should know better.
Yeah, we're to the age point where even though we did not have cell phones as kids, we had enough access to those type of things that there should not really be a level of outrage at all to that kind of a situation. Like, you know, it's out there, period. End of sentence.
Dude's getting the attention. He was the exact reason he did that is the exact thing he's getting. So all you're doing is feeding into the beast that you don't like. It's like the, what was it? Is it Grammys is music, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it that Cardi B and somebody?
Oh, Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah, they're basically fucking on stage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. That sounds fucking awesome. So, I mean, I didn't go back. Cause I know the song sucks. I've heard it. It sucks. But if you're going to have, like, two moderately attractive women, okay. And they're going to be like, did everyone forget that we used to love lesbian porn when we were young? What are we doing here? Why are we complaining about stuff? Well, my kids are watching it. Why are your kids watching the Grammys? By the way, all that shit is old people stuff.
Oh, that's
kids
one
don't
that...
care about the Grammys.
I haven't cared about an awards show in... Oh, man. It's been a long-ass time. Like, I don't care who wins an Academy Award. I don't... Like, who was... Oh, I think... And it's fine, because I like the song, but Body Count won the Heavy Metal Grammy, and I'm like, sure. Like, if that's... You know, if that's who you feel like picking, sure. Like, there's like a million good candidates. Pick one and roll with it. Right. Like, I don't really care. Like, congratulations to Ice-T and the crew, because, again, I like the song that they won for, but it's just like, okay. Like, I can't believe that it's still a thing.
It's just like, one, the music they choose is always the popular stuff. Okay, that's not what I've ever been into for the most part. Like,
right.
There was those years there where it was like some of the stuff we listened to, okay. But it was still where we were off the beaten path anyway. So those guys, the people we listen to aren't going to be up there.
Yeah, like know? Nirvana might have started on the off beaten path and found their way onto the path. Not really of their own volition.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there were definitely some bands that we listened to that crossed over. I guess Korn crossed over at some point.
Yeah, I think anytime, you know, you get that – it's weird. Korn, I guess they did get radio play, but they were like at the end of when people actually sold records too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean –
like their popularity came like around the end of records, so –
Yeah, I mean, I was still buying CDs.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I meant, yeah. But shortly after, though. I mean, like, what, 2010? When, like, digital stuff pretty much took over?
It might have been before that I stopped buying albums. Honestly, because I started... whenever I got... I'm trying to... Oh, yeah, I guess it would have been... I think it was 2011 that I got my Mac... That I started downloading the albums on iTunes. So I stopped buying physical copies.
Yeah, especially because it took up so much room. Now, I won't part with my CDs. I still got all those. So.
I have some select CDs left still. Like, because I kept any ones that... Because I have some autographs on some covers... And things of that nature. So, yeah, I kept some of those. There are a lot of others that maybe didn't have any kind of exceptional love to them that I got rid of. But, yeah, I definitely have some of my CDs left.
No, I don't have all of mine because I moved down here. I had to get rid of some. I had over, like, 1,000, if not more. So I was like, yeah, I got to get rid of some of these. And some of them I wish I still had, because who knew there was going to be a collector's market for obscure CDs? You know, always looking to like make some sort of money out of it. But
oh, well, I forgot, because that's one of the CDs that I have is A rare KMFDM Naive CD, because it was a short run in the U.S., and I found it at a used CD store. I'm like, I grabbed it immediately. I'm like, yeah, I've got to have this, because it's usually, it's an orange cover. It's the same cover as the next remix, but it's usually called Naive Go to Hell. And it's orange in the original one, but it's a green print on the second. And yeah, so that's one of those CDs that I definitely, that I still have, and I have for a very specific reason.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool though. Yeah. All this, yeah, I got some like rare stuff still, but I used to have a Bad Motorfinger, Soundgarden's like the big album with Outshined and all that. I've got that one, but I had, and I know Scott took it because he wanted it. It used to have the regular version, and then it had it inside was a dual CD, which is not the regular version. This came with like it was a 5-song EP. Remember those things back then?
Oh, yep.
That had like a different version of Rusty Cage. And three other unreleased songs. And it was like super rare.
Oh, damn, man.
And I went to show Elise it, and all of a sudden I went, wait a fucking minute. And I'm like, and I mean, it's years later, obviously.
I'm like, hey, yeah, that is a long time later. If it was Scott.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really probably one of the only reasons I remember him. He took my rare CD. So. But whatever.
Wow. So. Okie dokie. Well, grandkids, that's the rambling introduction for Stunt Granny Audio 647. Wow. All about the music.
Yes, back when it was fun to collect it.
And I was going to say, I forgot that Bad Motorfinger, I was still buying tapes when that came out.
Wow, really? I think I ditched those.
I really...
Remember the old Walkman with the cassette adapter so you could plug it into your car?
Yes, did I have one of those? No. I think I did buy myself a nice pop-off face cassette deck.
Yes, I remember those. Do they still do those? I wonder.
I don't think so. Like, I mean, I've...
Why? I'm sorry. Of course they don't. Why would you?
You have a built-in computer now.
Yes, exactly. You can just Bluetooth it. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I forgot the CD player in your pocket. That doesn't use CDs. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a real question, by the way. And I immediately, as soon as I said it out loud, just went.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised because, that still drives me bananas about Spotify. I'm like, I don't want to be on random, motherfucker. Stop it. Stop. Yeah. You're driving me up because every time I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, I just want to listen to this album. And then I'm like, oh, this is a different motherfucker. I forgot to hit that button. It's just like, you know, I turn this off all the time. Like, can there please be a setting here somewhere so that I don't have random?
Yes. No. That's why when I first got Spotify and they would just switch stuff around on you. And then the second I found out you could pay for it and that wouldn't happen, I was like, oh, fuck yes. Like, that's fine with me. I can't take this. Especially when like you're listening to something you know. And it's a banger song that has like a slow outro. And you know the next song.
Feeds into it.
Right. And like your whole body's just ready for it. And all of a sudden, it's a totally different artist with a different beat. You're like, okay, I'll pay the $10 a month. I don't care. I can't. I mentally cannot do that. So
you hear Suicide Note Part 1 by Pantera, and then it goes into, like, Weezer, the sweater song. You're like, huh?
Yes.
What?
I'm just trying to think of, like, that song, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a slow one, and then it just goes, it's a guy writing the note, and then the second one daring himself to do it, and it's just fucking nuts. And then, but to have that, like, so I've always had this thing, and we'll get to wrestling next, but I've always had this thing where everyone talks about how the computer's going to take over the world. There isn't a goddamn chance that's ever going to happen. I know we keep coming up with AI. They don't have the reasoning, the cognitive reasoning that we have. Like, the emotional reasoning. So, like, something like that. They can't even get a computer can't even get a playlist algorithm correct. I had a whole...
Go ahead.
Well, I had a whole metal, like, Spotify mix number 2, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's all metal stuff. All of a sudden, in the middle of it, and I like this song, too. I don't remember the artist, but it's a heavy, heavy, and all of a sudden, it's Men at Work Overkill. And I'm like, did I hit a button on accident? What is this? No, it's just the middle of the playlist. And then we go a little bit further down, and there's like another one of those 80s songs. And I'm like, okay. So, whatever. I don't worry about this. Like, okay. So, just, and yes, it is based just off of that they don't understand. Like, they can't get, like, and I know these are human-made algorithms, but if computers are so smart, they should be able to figure out how to change them themselves, right?
Well.
That's the theory.
Yeah, and the other thing that kind of drives me nuts, they're like, well, if something is truly random, they're like, you can land on the same song twice. And I'm like, but I don't want that. Like, I don't care if that's true randomness. Then I don't want quite true randomness. If you're really going to bump me around, like, I don't want to, because it always feels like they bump you to the popular songs and then the less popular songs. And it's just like, I'm not here to listen to the popular ones, really, but obviously a lot of people, like, I can, like, it always blows my mind to see those numbers and to see, like, the plays for the popular songs and then the, like, kind of rest of the album songs. I'm like, that's a mentality that I still just, I can't really wrap my head around. Like, I want to listen to the whole album for the most part. You know, I don't want to pick and choose.
Yeah,
every now and again, I'll pick that song that I really love for, like, some type of my own mix kind of a situation. But for the most part, I'm like, nah, I'm just going to listen to this band's album, that band's album. Like,
yeah, I really, like, all right, off the top of your head, can you name 3 songs if you never heard again you'd be fine with?
I guess not
like,
really.
Like popular songs. Like songs everyone seems to love. You're just like, oh my god, if I hear this song again, I'm going to fucking kill somebody.
No, it's kind of funny. Like some of those songs now, I'm like, I remember, like, it's bad that I'm like, I remember how much I hated that. Because, like, that.
Interesting.
Okay. What is it? That Friday song? Is it Carly Rae Jepsen or something like that?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, who? How? Like, it's Friday, it's Friday. Like, I'm trying to think of who the fuck sang that.
Oh my god. That's not a song I would ever hear, I don't think.
Oh, it was... Rebecca Black. Yeah.
I've heard of these names, but...
Oh my!
Like naked pictures of them. I don't know what they do.
73 million views for the YouTube video.
Well, there's that. Is everything about that one song?
Yeah, 2011. Like, because I was gonna say, it was one of those times. It might have been that we went up to Put-in-Bay, and people were just playing that left and right, and I wanted to murder some people then, but now I'm like, that song is annoying as fuck, but I guess I could still just stand and not ever hear that again. But whatever, like, it kind of does remind me of something fun.
Like, anyways. But like a song you used to like a lot, right? But then it's like part of the nostalgia thing. Or now, like, our music, like, the music we grew up with is considered old or classic now, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So, like, for example, if I never hear Jeremy by Pearl Jam, for obvious reasons, I never liked that song to begin with. Just, the song was fine, but it was everyone going, oh, hey, it's like, no, don't do it. God damn it, I lost one. Oh, I never, ever want to hear Sweet Child of Mine again.
Oh.
Fuck that song.
Okay. Yeah, I was going the wrong way.
No.
From where you're going.
You may have liked at one point, but you're like, no, I never want to hear this again. Never. Like, I see people like, you go through stuff. I don't give a goddamn if I ever hear Enter Sandman for the rest of my life.
Oh.
You know? Enough. Do you know how many Metallica albums are there? 10 now?
9? They finally got to 10. Or they're coming out with 10 soon or something like that.
Okay. Well, the last one was really good, so I'd like to see what they could do. That'd be great. But there's more than the Black album. And what? And I know they've played like some of the other ones, but I'm not tired of those. But I hate hearing songs by bands that are still making music that are 20 years old or more now. Like, enough of this bullshit. Oh my God. Wait a minute. The Black Album was 91, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were in high school, yeah.
That's 30 years old? Holy shit. Holy shit.
Was it, was it closer to 94?
No, I was a sophomore in high school.
Oh, so then it was 91 then. Because I remember listening to it. Oh, yeah, I think those guys were seniors and I was a sophomore. Because I was talking to some, because that's one where, I don't hate that. I didn't turn against Metallica until the album after that. And I still haven't really gone back. But yeah, most of those songs on there, I shouldn't even say most of them. Enter Sandman, I think, that's one where I'm just like, yeah, I've kind of overheard this one. Because at some point, Unforgiven, like, I feel like that dropped off the face of the earth. Like, that was super popular. But once it kind of got to a certain age, I feel like you haven't heard that one as much.
No, but then they also made, what, Unforgiven 2 and Unforgiven 3.
Oh.
And no, I know you, yeah. I listened to, what was the one, Load, the one after.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. Like, there are a couple songs that I'm like, these are kind of banging, but the rest of it, like, okay. What was it? Reload?
Yeah, I sold Load to my friend Liz in studio. Like, I was so pissed off that I had bought that thing that I sold it to someone else for like half the price. So I'm like, just get this. Like, this album does not deserve to be owned by me. Like, I was furious.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I forgot they made Saint Anger.
Oh.
Which gets an unfair rap because the drums are hideous. The rest of it's not that bad. I mean, it's not great. And then, but the last one, fuck, I forgot what it's called. Oh, Hardwired to Self-Destruct. Dude, their last one's good.
Yeah, they and play a the lot last of...
song on there, oh, it is so good.
Yeah.
Like, it's classic them, and
yeah, like I they play that a lot on Liquid Metal, so I guess I don't hate it as much. Like, that's, it is actually kind of funny. Like, anything pre Black album, I still love the jam to on their playlist.
Yeah, even Garage Days, even though it's all covers. Yeah, all the time.
Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, that one's... That, well, that's... I mean, honestly, that's what turned me on. That's what... like, one of the catalysts for going backwards. Like, was, I didn't know that... oh, fuck. It's the one that's like, I got something to say. I killed a baby today.
Oh, yeah. Green Hell.
Yeah, Green Hell's the second part of that.
Oh,
It's... Yeah. Anyways, that's what yeah. That's what I was like, oh, who's this? The Misfits? Okay, so it went backwards. I was like, oh, okay. So,
oh,
but yeah,
right.
That's like... Yeah, that's what like got me like looking in the past, so... And, but anyways. Speaking of the past, this past Wednesday... get the wrestling finally.
What? It's only a half hour into the show. I mean, people yeah. stuck with us,
well,
I
we
think.
We can't do another 2-hour one, so...
We have to limit ourselves to another hour of just wrestling talk.
yeah, exactly. But what'd you think of this week? I liked both shows, but to me, as much memorable stuff that was supposed to be on AEW, I was just like, okay. Like, I didn't hate it, but I just went, cool. That's it. Like,
well, that was one where they kind of, like, I feel like they sacrifice story sometimes for cool and wow. Because I am excited that Chris Statlander is back. That was a fun wow moment. But I'm not quite sure that, like, they never explained the logic. Like, was Penelope Cruz the one that injured her?
No.
Is she friends with Orange Cassidy and Trent?
No. See, okay. This is the thing. And this is one of their problems with AEW, is they cater too much to the fans who paid attention to every single indie. They used to be feuding on the indie. Backstage, being the Elite, they were always having like these back and forth. Not well, as much as he does a back and forth, right? So, like even today, he tweeted out the Alien rides with us now. So they put everything in the past, but it's like, what did you put in the past? Like, that's never been explained on TV, you know? Unless I'm forgetting something.
I don't think so. Yeah, I'm just confused by that. Like, yeah, their storyline logics, and I've even tried to do my best. Like, the last 2 or 3 weeks I've watched Being the Elite, finally, like, you kind of talked me into it, I guess. I'm like, oh, yeah, guess I can just pop it on my phone while I'm working and at least listen to what the hell's going on and peek in on it. And I'm like, huh? They've had segments together? And I'm like, okay, like, you were talking in the past for them.
Yeah.
To have segments with each other. So.
Yeah. It's like they were always doing something, and it's like, okay, whatever. But I just. We could talk about that match a little bit. It was just your usual. No holds barred thing. I thought there was actually, for as much goofiness that was in that match, I thought they had some solid logic in it. Like, they took out Sabian as quick as they could, and they both just double-teamed Miro because they knew they had to get rid of him or they were screwed.
Oh.
And when they couldn't put Sabian away and whatever else was going on, when Miro came back, he was destroying them. So it actually made him look like a monster, like he should have been looking like the whole time.
As much as I know that we've criticized them a lot, I think that he has finally started to move in the right direction. Like, he kind of, you know, I'm not a fan of get together with people and then break them up. But, like, as soon as he kind of laid down his foot with Kip Sabian, he's like, nah, man, I'm tired of being like second fiddle guy. I think it's really helped his character out quite a bit, and this week just kind of continued that upward trend that it seems like he gives a shit again, which is, you know, maybe he saw enough people saying that online and he realized that maybe he needs to bring a little more energy to his performances.
Yeah, it was just like he's physically one of the biggest guys they have, even though he's not the tallest.
Oh yes,
he's wide as hell, even though he's slimmed down. So, like, you know, Trent's ripped. Chuck Taylor just kind of is a guy.
But you know? It like, helps that he's like 6'4 or something like that. I mean, I agree that he, like, I might have a better physique than Chuck Taylor, but I'm also not 6'4 or whatever the fuck he is.
Yeah. But it's funny because I saw old pictures of him. He used to be a lot more muscular. So, and I don't know, and I'm not accusing, but I'm saying, well, I mean, maybe he's hurt, or maybe he doesn't work out the way he used to, or maybe he was doing other stuff. I don't know.
Oh.
But he had a different look, and of course, you know. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, you know.
Well, no. Like, I lost my train of thought. But no, it's he looked more muscular back then. He looked more like, you know, an athlete. And now he just looks like a dude, which I guess kind of fits. Because you got the weird mute guy in Orange Cassidy. You got the shredded, angry dude in Trent. And you just got the goofy Chuck. Like, okay. It fits.
Yeah.
So, cool. But, and then adding Statlander the alien, which I was really hoping they were dropping. Until stupid Excalibur goes, oh, she's finally made it back from her abduction. Like, what the hell are you? Shut up, Excalibur. Just stop it. Let this goofy chick be an alien. That's fine. We all know she's not, so.
Yeah, I mean, she, yeah. Like I said, I'm glad she's back. Like, I didn't see the logic in her beating up Penelope Ford.
Yeah.
I guess I missed that, evidently.
Yeah, it's in the where Indies. Everything got, like, it got too scripted to where, like, all right, so she's been in the ball pit the entire time? Okay. I mean, I know he's wrestling, so he's supposed to just be like, oh, well, of course. But it's like, well, what if Penelope Ford never interferes? You're just in the ball pit like an asshole the whole time? Like, uh-uh. And you just get out the end and be like, hey, I'm back. Whoops. And then even, like, the Trent part can be explained, I guess, because he could be watching on his phone. He's like, you know what? I'm going to let my friends take care of this for me. You know, it's the fight they chose, whatever else. And then, all right, Mom, drive me in there.
Oh.
You know, like that.
Yeah.
So, all right, forget it. It's no holds barred. Let's do this. And part of me wants to hate the fact that his mom is involved. The other part of me loves the fact his mom's involved.
it's
so dumb.
I think that I'm like, okay, like, this is one where it's kind of to me, it's harmless fun. Like, I don't think that to me ever helps your character in the long run. You know?
Yeah.
But it does also keep you on TV. Like, see the likes of R-Truth and whatnot. You know, if you can be entertaining, it really helps out. But I also think if you want to be a champion, that it doesn't really do you any favors.
Right. But I also think, like, of, like, the best friends. And this was the other weird thing about this match. It was an arcade hardcore match or whatever, street fight, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
With a bunch of mid-carders. You know? Like, everyone, maybe Miro will ascend eventually. Everyone in this match is exactly where they're going to be their entire career. Unless they go down the card. So it was very weird to me that a mid-card feud got the main event spot which I understand why with all the arcade set up and the fan and all this stuff. But that's all I kept thinking was like, this is like a middle of the show or second card. Like if it was a regular match, maybe the first match or second match or third of the show. So.
Oh yeah, that was kind of weird.
Yeah, the AEW show again. I liked it, but it was just weirdness all around. They brought the Inner Circle back already. That was weird. Why?
What? They have 2 weeks off?
That was it.
And, I think last week it's kind of funny. We were talking about how we were liking that they had been off TV, and then they popped back up this week. And is it too much to say that I was sitting there watching that, and I'm like, did they get too much revenge right away?
Yes, they absolutely did.
That was my main takeaway. I'm like, why do I want to see them beat him in a match? Like, I mean, he just put MJF through a soda machine or whatever and poured bubbly on him. Like, how do you get more insulting than that?
Yeah, I mean, before that, you saw Sammy Guevara smashing Sean Spears in the door. Jake Hager throws Wardlow through the massage table, which, by the way, pretty cool. Massage tables are pretty strong. And you got Santana Ortiz bloodied. Not the Revival.
FTR.
FTR. So it's like, I mean, he was stabbing him in the head, for God's sake.
Oh.
So what more can we do? Like, that should have been... I don't know when that should have been. Maybe in a match? I don't know. But,
I would have been fine if they show up as a surprise and the Pinnacle needs to beat a hasty retreat. I'm cool with that.
Exactly, yes.
But, like, that, like you said, like, everyone in Pinnacle got their ass handed to them. By their equal in... the Inner Circle, and it's just like, okay. Like, no one lost their battle. Yeah. Ortiz and Santana didn't. Guevara didn't. Jericho obviously didn't. Hager didn't. No one on their side got their ass handed to them.
No, I mean, not... The only blood on them was somebody else's. Which is a bigger problem because that was second on the night to where the Nightmare Family got their ass kicked by QT Marshall and name me one other guy. What the fuck are we doing?
I remember that the one guy was an Olympic boxer.
I think that's Nick Camarado. No, that's not it. Is it? Anthony Ogogo?
Ogogo.
Yes.
That sounds right.
I know it's Nick Cam or something or other. The guy I just mentioned, whose name I forgot already. Two other dudes. One dude that looks like a caveman, which I that is not an insult. That guy's got a great look.
He kind of reminds me of like a cross of Hercules and Booger from Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, see, I was going to go with John Nord.
Yes.
That's who it reminds me of. And that's a good thing because, yes, I used to love that Berserker character. I love him as John Nord more, but whatever. But, so I was like, all right, so good. All right. And these are guys that are on Dark all the time. And then all of a sudden, QT Mart, listen, I know you said, I was actually going to text you this, but know you said QT had some impressive stuff in Ring of Honor. Last night was not it. Like, he looked slow and blown up in the ring. And then the whole thing, I'm like, this feud is going to last one match, right? Because Huh?
Yeah, like if Cody Rhodes isn't selling an injury like he was in this match, there is no reason for him not to clean Marshall's clock. Well,
Yeah.
and here's the other thing too. At least with the Ring of Honor stuff, they positioned him to be, on the winning end of matches. Not
Okay.
as the chump and not as the sidekick. That's what's so weird. Like, and yeah, I guess we maybe kind of named some of the guys there, but your broader point is there. Like, we haven't seen these guys. Like, why are they forming a coalition that, like, I didn't even know they were in the Nightmare family, that they were training at Cody's facility until this show. Them getting beaten up, it was just weird. There wasn't, it's a classic wrestling trope, but it's just also like I don't want to see more of QT Marshall on my TV.
No, not at all. I mean, why would I want to see him?
I don't know. And again, I guess to go back to my own comments about Ring of Honor, like they didn't have the level of talent, I think, has changed drastically in wrestling since he was featured there. And it's only been a couple of years. But there are just better people on that roster than QT. If he ends up being more of a manager for the group, cool, I guess. But his mic skills aren't so fantastic that he needs to be in that role.
No, they're not. I have no fucking clue what they're doing and why they thought this was necessary. Like, we've talked about how big their roster is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do we need these guys taking up spots on AEW's roster? On the TV show specifically. No, we absolutely don't. Like, there are guys that don't get on right now anyways. So I'm just totally lost on what and why this is happening. So
In the night, they are a little too faction crazy right now for me. Like, I guess I was okay with the Pinnacle popping in there, but now if we're getting QTs, and I'm just gonna go with Steve Williams' suggestion, the QT Pies.
Waka waka. Jesus.
Yeah,
That's,
truly
hey,
dad joke
everybody,
level.
might as well. Fuck 'em. Awful shit.
But who are they gonna run over? They shouldn't beat anyone in Cody's group. Oh, and that Lee Johnson, oh my Lord, that guy took a bump.
Was he the guy that got thrown over the top rope?
Onto the ring entry. I was just like, oh, that looked like it has zero give. That looks.
No, that ramp does not move.
I
So.
was just like, oh, like I know that he did that he gave him more of a sideways toss instead of really tossing him hard down to kind of limit
Yeah.
impact, but oof, man, that could not. Props to Lee Johnson. That could not have been comfortable.
No, like none of that looked fun. I liked how they protected Dustin on the pile driver on the stairs. That was good.
Oh.
Cause, but like, so what I was talking about before when I started this to go back was, so Dax Harwood's the one that got bladed, right?
I think so.
Right, so he's bleeding him back, but it already happened when Dustin Rhodes got cut open. And it's like, I think, was there two or three people the show got cut open? Now, I don't know if it was hard way or planned, but it's like, God damn, how many people are going to bleed in this show? Like, it loses its effect, you know?
Well, and I was kind of thinking about that with another aspect of the show. I'm like, okay, I'm fine with positioning yourself is something of a, and they're kind of moving that way is an alternative to the WWE. But in a similar vein, I'm like, how many people are going to swear on this show? Like, again, well, I'm not offended. I don't really give a shit to kind of play into it. But it's just like, man, if everyone starts swearing, it gets a little old.
I only remember two. One was Jade Cardell and one was Darby Allin, right? Those are the only two, right?
I thought that
there was there more.
It felt like there was more than that. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it's because when someone swears, it's always like they go, "Oh," like, okay, like try saying "cunt." You know what? Surprise me. Drop an F bomb and see if the TNT sensors are paying attention. You know, but yeah, it's whatever. I actually didn't mind, like Jay Cardell. Okay, look, I liked her promo, but at the same time, I'm like, woman, you've had one match. Let's slow down. So, she said bitch. She said bitch at the end of hers. That's right.
Yeah, she said bitch at the end of hers.
So, whatever. Yeah. Again.
Well, that's one where I'm like, she's rocketing to the top, but she's, for some reason, still stuck on Red Velvet, who just keeps on getting L's hung on her. I'm like, you're fucking with someone who's a loser as of right now.
Yeah.
And who just saved Cody Rhodes for reasons, I guess.
I guess because Cody brought her in. That's what I was guessing, as Cody had her back. Now she's got his.
Yeah.
You know? I also think it's because Brandy's pregnant and can't be there.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's so they're she is a surrogate. Another.
Kind of a weird thing, but
yeah.
Okay. But
they still haven't explained that well enough, but you know, stick that on the pile of storyline problems in AEW that probably have carryover on AEW Dark Elevation.
Yeah. Or on just AEW Dark.
Or on Dark.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. No, but it's like, I know they complain about those, but the rest of the show I thought was fine.
Oh.
The six-man match was good. I liked the interaction with Don Callis and the Young Bucks. Although I'm confused, are they trying to break up the Young Bucks? Is that why he was talking to Nick and not Matt?
Matt and not Nick.
I knew I had it backwards, but I was just going to go with it.
I don't know. Like, I don't think so, but I mean, because I just thought of another complaint, because it's another part of their factionism.
Team Taz?
Team Taz.
Dude, listen. I know it's like, oh good, another faction's having problems, right? Ricky Starks just makes me laugh. He is so disingenuous and isn't even trying to hide it. I just think it's funny. So
I do like his character.
Pass, I guess. Oh yeah, I just
because Taz is playing Mr. Oblivious, I guess. It kind of like you have this guy who's supposed to be the truth teller or whatever he is, and he's oblivious to what's happening in his own house.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like a bad look for a streetwise guy like Taz. Like, Why is he not picking up on all of the bad vibes that are happening between his two top guys?
I wonder if he is, and it's just like a denial, you know? And
but they're never like, gonna they're never gonna explain that level of storytelling.
Oh God, no! They can't. I mean, it just seems like there's so much going on they can never get around to it.
But so, yeah, it's just I'm like, now we have a faction with like we've just had a faction with a problem. Like, if you're gonna go with factions, cool. But like, can you like chill out the number of problems that we have within factions? Or is that the only way they're going to run storylines?
It just seems like, yeah, like not everyone needs to be in one. I mean, you're right. It's everything's going to be told through a faction. Like, okay. Like even Kenny Omega winning the title, it was just him and Don Callis. Because the Young Bucks have been so far out of the picture that you're like, oh, okay, this is what's going on right now. And then Don Callis shows up, and then the Good Brothers are showing up, and then they're not even mentioning the fact that Kenny Omega is taking on Rich Swann. Have you noticed, like, all Impact references are pretty much gone?
I was in tears when Excalibur is talking about Frankie Kazarian and Christian Cage and their feud. And he did not say Impact / TNA. I was howling. How? I'm like, you guys are partnering with these people and you're selling them out like you're in the WWE? This is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. I don't mind. I actually don't mind that they're not talking about it because it seemed to have helped streamline their show. Oh. They're not worried about getting Impact plugs in, not worried about doing this. Maybe they'll mention that Don Callis is Impact exec, right?
Oh, yeah.
But outside of that, he's just, you know, a piece of shit that's Kenny Omega's manager.
Right.
You know?
He's doing a pretty good job. And I guess to kind of go back to it, that interaction with him and Matt was great. Like that, because I guess I did kind of diatribe into the group session thing with Team Taz there. But to kind of get back to that point, that was a fun interaction. But I also, like I said, I guess I don't feel like the Young Bucks are going to break up because of that interaction, like especially after what ended up happening later in the show with the Young Bucks weirdly joining John Moxley to take on the Good Brothers and Kenny Omega.
Okay, does that not seem like an obvious setup, by the way? Or do you think AEW is subtle enough to where that won't happen? You know what I mean? It just seems like the Young Bucks that are out there, like, oh, okay, we're going to do this. Oh, and now we're going to fuck John Moxley over. And the Bullet Club, America will be back together.
I was already waiting for it to happen this show, to be honest with you. So I was a little surprised that it didn't. It gives Moxley a chance against Kenny Omega and some goons to have the Young Bucks on his side. Because I'm sorry, they did a great job with the Eddie Kingston story, but I'm not buying him and whoever else he might bring with him as being equals to the Good Brothers.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And so, like, at least to me, logistically, it makes sense to keep the Young Bucks with Moxley. But, yeah, I'm always going to have that creeping suspicion that there is an easy turn in mind until it does not happen.
Yeah, and then I think it would be refreshing if it didn't, but it just seems like maybe Matt got it right this time. It's just that good of an actor, because Nick is clearly not that great of an actor, that, you know, maybe he's just really good at selling this. And to me, being dumb, just suckered right in, you know? So... But yeah, but it's like his facials with Don Callis is all over him, and then he's gonna smack Don Callis and then doesn't. And even Don Callis is like, that's it. Okay, I thought there was more in you. It's like he's trying to drag it out, you know, just waiting for it. Where Nick takes off. You know, he's not around to be seduced by the devil. If you want to go in a little was it Lil Nas X that I was talking about earlier?
Yes. Oh man. Yeah. That's it. That feud, it'll be interesting. It, if nothing else, I hope, like I said, I guess I'm with you. I hope that he doesn't turn on them or they don't turn on him. But you know, there's plenty of story there to be had.
Right. And I don't even mind if they do turn on Moxley, but I would like it to be in a shocking fashion, not the very first match, and they go, "Oh, we were sucking you the whole time." Like, cool. That's like the most obvious way of doing it. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm asking for too much. Maybe I'm giving too much credit for this sort of thing. But just if they're not an alternative to WWE, they're basically WWE. So, it's just like, okay, cool. But well, if you really think about it, they are. They don't do anything outside, like, supposedly they have long-term storytelling. Okay, sure. I guess. I don't know. So they have that up on the upper hand of WWE proper. Athleticism, the matches are better, but sometimes they're too long. Christian Cage and Frankie Kazarian should not have gone, 15 minutes and two commercials or something? I think it went two commercials.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, should have never gone that long. I'm not saying you can't squash Kazarian because they just don't want to. I have no other reason for that. They just don't want to squash him. Okay. So you don't need to have a 15-minute match, you know? Just have it be where, like, Christian pulls one out on the sly, you know? And that's how, you know, I outworked you. Part of the gimmick. I outworked you. That means I outbrained you. Something like that. But goddamn, I'm like, Christian took so much punishment. And then he hits him with the kill switch. You're like, okay, I know it's his end move, but he just took all this offense. How is he still moving? Like, unless that's the character they're trying to go with now. Which at almost 50 years old, I think he is. Let's not do that to the guy with the concussion problems. How about that? That'd be a smart idea.
So. Yeah, he just doesn't need to be in matches that long unnecessarily.
Right.
So, yeah, even if they go 10 to 12 minutes, it's probably more palatable than 15. You know? Like, just shorten it up a little bit, and it probably works.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I do understand you're kind of in that spot where, like you said, like, you don't want to job Kazarian completely. But, you know, a 12-minute match is still solid. You know, like, that's not just giving up a loss easily.
And also, and I know this is petty because I know how things work, but you can't advertise the return of Christian Cage and then go to a commercial break. You know what I mean? Like, if this is supposed to be a big deal. Picture in picture is still a goddamn commercial break. So that's bullshit. It's a commercial break. It's so small, you can't really pay that much attention to it. You know?
Yeah, that's why I do pretty much fast forward it during. They're like, just stick with us. And I'm like, no. Like, I guess I do. In some ways, I understand JR's antipathy towards those commercial breaks, but I've also laughed that I think the last two or three weeks they've pretty much taken those commercial break throws away from him and given them to Excalibur for the most part.
Yeah, yes. So,
so the long running feud of JR versus Picture in Picture commercial breaks, I think, has finally ended.
Yeah, he. That's something I know did not exist when the last he was, announcing for WWE. So,
Oh.
but it's like, old dog, new tricks, I guess. Which I don't like calling anyone like an old dog. That's just rude. Which I know it sounds weird coming from me, but it's just silliness. Like, I don't understand how the picture is supposed to make things better. Being dead serious.
I think you kind of hit it. Like, it's too small to really be of that much impact. Like, and plus, to me, the sound is always what throws it off. Like, I can try and pay attention to the picture, but as soon as I hear, by Haynes or whatever, I'm thinking about Haynes and not about the wrestling action.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
To me, like, the audio is just kind of part of the show, and when the audio isn't talking about the wrestling, then it's just it's not the same thing. Like, people try to kind of position it like a almost a soccer kind of a situation where it's everything's still running, but yeah, you can't fully pay attention to the match.
Exactly. I don't know. Especially in the Christian Cage sense, I don't know how you could have done it differently other than budgeted your time better.
Oh.
Like, not have it be the opening match, Have something else go on. Just something. But yeah, just I don't know.
Yeah,
It just seemed like a
it
waste.
sounds like Dynamite was worse than you initially thought.
Well, no, like I. But see, the thing is, I enjoyed the match, but for the importance of it, it shouldn't have been that long.
Oh, yeah.
For so it's like the angles. I thought they did some decent job with the angles, even though one I thought was just rushed too quickly. Inner Circle should have been gone a month, if not more. Because no, like
No.
honestly, it gave other people time to breathe. And then this whole QT Marshall thing, no. Absolutely unnecessary. Unless one of these guys that's his Nightmare Factory students turn out to be the next Rock and Steve Austin, which we both know is not going to happen, it's not worth the effort and time when you have all these other people. So,
Yeah.
because WWE gets such a badass rap about the amount, how big the roster is and how people don't get used. But AEW skates because they have a 57-hour show on YouTube twice a week. So.
Well, yeah, the funny thing is, though, I think I'm kind of scanning through the review. The only thing we didn't really cover on AEW was the women's tag match, which wasn't, much of anything, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, what's there to say? It's Taya Conte, who's improved drastically.
Oh, yeah.
Not Nyla Rose, who shouldn't be losing matches.
And
Allie
thankfully, she
slash.
didn't actually lose a match for the change.
Yeah, true. But it's like, it's just weird having some like her partner was the Bunny.
Oh.
That's just kind of weird to me, but whatever. I mean, I think that's just personal preference, So it doesn't hinder or hurt anything. But
No, they were just trying. That was kind of one of those classic WWE. Just throw two different feuds or three different feuds together in a multi-person match so that we can, not just have direct confrontations.
yeah.
Is really all that was. Like, it served its purpose, but it wasn't anything to write home about either. Like, that, I guess that makes it a storyline hit, really. Like, there's no reason to rush the storylines because they still have a long time until their next pay-per-view. It served its purpose.
Well, they've got that weird, like, house show sort of thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
The house always wins thing. And I'm like, what is this? I thought it was going to be like a little surprise pay-per-view or something, but they said no. It's only for the live audience.
Yeah, it seemed kind of weird to advertise, we're not going to tape this on TV.
Yeah. What?
Huh?
Like,
then
why
bother? Then why are you telling me? Just post that somewhere else. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's like, why are you having this event if you're not going to broadcast it? It seems kind of dumb. Especially now, like, I know, like, people think the pandemic's over because it's getting to be summer. At least down here. And we got vaccines and all this, but it's not. So you're just having an event to have an event. Like, even WWE's not running a house show. You know?
Yeah, and as far as we know, it's just WrestleMania for a crowd. Like, they haven't announced anything.
Well, they recorded the Hall of Fame already. So that was done in the Thunderdome. And then, as far as I know, NXT is in the Capitol Wrestling Center.
Well,
with like their staged fans or whatever.
Yeah, technically fans.
Yeah, so that's just like
stunt granny fans.
Yes. Exactly. So, but since we're on NXT, there's really nothing more to say about AEW, anyways. But we're on NXT. I thought it was a good show. I thought last week's was better though, as a run up.
Gets kind of like they really just did a lot of confirmed a couple of extra matches to really round out. I think what we have 5 matches on both nights now, because they added Shotzi and Ember versus Sugar. Who are they taking on?
Shotzi and Ember are taking on Candice
and Indy Hartwell.
Indy, yeah.
Okay, but that match, didn't that just get added on this past show?
Yeah, which seemed weird because I was like, I thought that was already going to be on there. the way they've been, you know, building this up, and then they also added Pete Dunne and Kushida for no reason.
Yes, they had those were two of the, honestly, like two of the more, I guess, intriguing / storylines that moved along on the show, because everything else was just kind of setting up next week, you know, like it wasn't a heavy action week per se. Because, I mean, well, there was wrestling, right, actually, but
the most action that was on the show was poor Io Shirai getting her ass kicked the whole show. If you think, all right, so we had Cameron Grimes and Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was good. It was a good match, and it had some intrigue as well with, you know, him pulling the Undisputed Era stuff out. And Wade Barrett, by the way, who's usually going for the heels, he was spot on in what he was talking about. He goes, Roderick Strong did nothing wrong. He stood by his friends. Adam Cole turned his back on him. And then Kyle O'Reilly won't give him the time of day anymore. And I went, wait a minute. He's right. Those guys are both, like, Kyle O'Reilly's a dick too.
Agreed. Yeah, no reason to disagree with Mr. Barrett.
Yeah, but usually he's like one side or whatever else. But
oh yeah,
yeah, I could not believe that. I'm like, I didn't think of it that way. That's perfect. And you know, Cameron Grimes, you know, he's awesome. So I was really surprised by this match because I'm like, why are they doing this? Because you knew Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly weren't going to interfere. So why? Why ruin Cameron Grimes' momentum? Because they, I mean, after what they did to LA Knight last week, you know, losing one of his first matches back
on the brand,
and then winning this battle royal. So he goes in last for the gauntlet match. I was like, what kind of psycho booking are they doing? That 1 week he loses clean in his, I mean, I guess not his debut match, but, you know, his first big prominent match, I guess, whatever.
Yeah.
And then have him win the Battle Royal for a North American title shot. Like, first, why the hell is he in this thing? He lost clean.
the week previous.
Yeah.
But now he had, and he's only been in your company for 2 weeks, but now he has a chance at the second most prestigious belt, men's belt on your brand.
I'm choking over here, so go ahead and talk.
Oh, okay. LA Knight, he has kind of been all over the place. I don't really get where they're headed with him. I did kind of laugh during that match with Dexter Lumis just staring in the corner pretty much the whole match until what? It was just a one-on-one situation, I believe.
Yeah, when it was just him and LA Knight.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
when he finally did something.
Man, why is swallowing wrong such a motherfucker, dude? Oh my god.
I was like, have I gone long enough to throw it to him?
No, I muted it, I'm coughing, and I'm like, come on, that's enough. And it just won't go away. And I'm like, oh my god, enough. And then, you know, I got this new headset, so I'm trying to make sure I hit the mute button. So I'm like, you know, ugh. All right, so there we go. And it was only water, by the way. My beer's been gone for a while. So, but I'm with you though. The LA Knight thing, and then Dexter Lumis standing around. Which, by the way, did Dexter Lumis beat? Yeah, he beat Austin Theory, right?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
He did. Okay. All right. So.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah, but if you think about any of the guys, like the. Anybody that was in that thing, Jake Atlas? Huh?
Oh, yeah, he did not deserve to be in it either.
Why, as much as I like him, not Shane Strickland, why was Isaiah Swerve Scott in it?
Don't know.
When's the last time he won a match? Leon Ruff? Okay. I mean, like, former North American champion, so.
Yeah, you can make a case there.
You know, yeah, I'd be like, sure. Who else was in this thing? Pete Dunne and Kushida, okay. But Kushida, didn't he just lose clean to Johnny Gargano for the North American title? So why is he in this thing? But it's like, you know, Pete Dunne being in it, I get, because he lost to Finn Balor, the champ.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, okay, so I'll try and win another belt, you know, to get back on track something. But, yeah, I know they wanted to get Pete Dunne on this, but I don't necessarily think he needed to be on it. You know, are these shows 3 hours long, or are they two?
I think they're only going to be two, because it's only five matches on each night. I'm assuming it's going to be two, or maybe two plus, because, and it's something that, shockingly, I haven't complained about on one of the podcasts. The overrun has been alive and well for quite a while now. Like, it's only 5 minutes or something like that, so it's not kind of getting into that. They were getting into some pretty crazy, like, 15-minute overruns and whatnot. But both, at least Raw and to NXT on USA have been given a little bit of leeway recently.
Yeah. Well, they did that on purpose just to make sure, you know, it takes away from the AEW audience. That's the only reason. It didn't work, obviously. But,
yeah, you know,
they wanted people to move over when AEW was done, or if they could get you to stay, you know, which is just I know why it matters, because you make money off your ratings, you know.
Oh.
But I mean, I guess. I don't know. WWE's ratings have been going down for years now, and they're making more money than ever on them. So.
Well, and speaking of ratings, I guess it'd be a half decent time to interject the fact that it was made official that Tuesday NXT starting after this. Well, we get these two specials here for Stand and Deliver. I was so mad that people did not like my Eric Cartman as the teacher in Stand and Deliver, Jif. I was very, very disappointed in the internet for that one.
Yeah, it's so great.
Because Edward James Olmos, was that? Yeah, that's who that was. I can't think of what the actual character's name was, but... Because I was just like, oh, can I do something with that artwork? And I'm like, oh, no, I can't. I am not good.
Not anymore, but... yeah, but no, it... Yeah, so they're moving. I loved the first one with the little Pomeranian. I think that was a Pomeranian?
Yes.
I can't remember what kind of dog she has, but the dog running around. And I go, oh, that's Ty Valkyrie's dog. Just noticed it right off the bat. Knew exactly who it was. And Beth goes, what's with the dog? I thought that was kind of a bitchy, fun response. I was like, why is there a dog in here? Like, that was great. Because, you know, Beth's the baby face announcer, you know? She's not supposed to say stuff like that.
Oh, right.
And she did. I was like, oh, that's funny. And then you saw the dog running again. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's definitely going to be Taya, because...
I guess I did not know that she had a Pomeranian, but I saw the boots and I'm just like, yeah, like she was one of those signings that it's just like, really? You're going to keep her off TV for like months? To me, she's definitely in that like, and I can only think of guys, honestly, because I can't think of any women that have had that much in-ring experience and have come over to the WWE. The only thing I think of is Kevin Owens, who was essentially just, you know, thrown right into NXT when he came over.
Yeah.
Or I guess Shinsuke Nakamura would have been another guy who they're just like, yeah, you've been doing this for like 15 years. This is stupid to... Like, they might have run him through some classes and some finer points of the WWE style or whatever. I'm sure they've done that with Taya, but other than that, they're just like, yeah, you're getting on TV right now.
Yeah, it's like, you know what you're getting. I wonder, and I'm being dead serious, I'm wondering if she's taking up a spot that's going to be left behind by either Io or Raquel.
I don't know if
it's a good time for Raquel to like go up on the main roster, but
because it's such a disaster.
Where does she go from there?
And that was the other weird thing about Io getting her ass handed to her all night.
The whole show?
Yeah, the whole show. It's just like, I know that they're trying to show a certain level of resolve with her. And she's, you know, outright admitted that she knows she's kind of up against it with Raquel. But when you get your ass handed to you for two consecutive hours, like, don't you have to be the one that wins after that?
Well, no. Remember, she won at the end. Remember, she got put through, this was one of the detractions for me. She gets put through all that stuff and keeps coming back, right?
She got put through the glass, right?
No, well, it would have been a window, but there was like a board there, so.
They put drywall. I chuckled that they put drywall over the plexiglass.
Yeah, but no, at the end of the show, remember they started fighting again, and then Io dove off the top rope onto the pile, and Raquel sold it like she got shot with a gun.
Because
it ended with Io standing tall at the end.
Okay.
Which I'm like. What? Like,
yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so...
And because, I'm just sitting there going, okay, it's a fun dive to do, but I'm like, it shouldn't be doing that much damage when she's jumping on to, like, 24 women.
I love the fact Vic said, and I know he's being fed this stuff, so I don't berate him as much as he probably should be.
Could be.
I loved him saying the entire women's locker room is the women's locker room is out here to separate them. And you looked at those girls or women, excuse me, that are in that were out there, and you're going,
who?
Who are these people?
Yeah, they got the same treatment that QT Marshall's people got, huh?
This... I had at least seen them on Dark. Oh. A couple of them, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I didn't recognize one of these women. So I was like, that's pretty weird. And but I was like, yeah, I don't see...
I guess I'm cool with them using them in that situation, but like you said, like, you're kind of hanging Vic out to dry if you're the one giving right. him that line.
Yeah. And I guess technically he's not wrong. The women's locker room emptied.
Oh.
So there's more than just those women, right? But
yeah, when
pretty weird.
Yeah, when pretty much none of the women involved are like none of them were involved in the show prior to that, and there were plenty of women involved in the show prior to that. Are involved, it's just kind of like, ish. it's a little hard to take. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess it would be easier if I could recognize any of them, too. So, it was good to see Priscilla Kelly out there, or Gigi Dolan,
she's calling herself. Yes.
Yeah. After Gigi Allen, so it makes sense. But else, that was cool to see her. It was weird seeing her wearing, like, that outfit, but... Because she used to wear... Oh, no, I guess she always wore that. Never mind. I don't want to talk about it. Never mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, they haven't generally changed their look very much, but names are still fairly important.
Yeah, and especially, it's not like she had a huge name in Priscilla Kelly, to be completely honest.
Outside
of her, like, doing the tampon spot, you know? So... She was the one that did the tampon spot a few years ago.
Okay. I don't really remember that, to be honest with you.
So, it was in an indie show somewhere, obviously. And my exact details may be wrong. But I believe she had a tampon in. This is fake. Okay?
Uh-huh.
She pulled the tampon out, put it in her opponent's mouth, I think.
Oh!
Which is so fucking gross. Which was supposed to be the point of it. And, like, some of the old veterans got pissed off. Like, oh, my God, how can you do this, blah, blah, blah. While some of the other veterans were like, no, that's she's making a name for herself. You know, if everyone's good with it, then what are you getting mad about? And, like, even Mick Foley got on her case about it. And someone goes, hey, Mick, you should shut the fuck up. And we're not the same person, but Mick Foley is kind of like me where you shoot your mouth off. And then you go, oh, wait a minute.
Oh. Like,
you know?
Yeah.
So he actually apologized and go, you know what? You're right. She's out there doing, trying to make a name for herself, trying to do something different. Okay. I overreacted.
How is that different than Socko?
Well, fuck, man. How is that any different than literally, like, hers was fake, right? That's why I made sure to mention it was fake.
He's throwing
himself in real barbed wire. He's throwing himself off of 15-foot real steel cages.
Giving himself real concussions and very, yes. very real physical limitations at this point in his life.
So this woman is putting we'll go with the old ketchup-covered stuff, because that was, you know, it's always a popular one. You know, like a ketchup-covered tampon, which, yes, it is gross. It's supposed to be.
Oh.
Like, could you imagine if you did that and someone was just like, okay.
Yeah, like as long as you don't start doing that every match, it's okay.
Of course. I don't think she ever did it again.
Okay, yeah. As long as it didn't become the dong flip for 12 consecutive years or whatever the fuck that was.
Oh, God. Boy, how bad does that look in hindsight, huh?
Yeah. I always kind of wonder how his old tag team partner Candice LeRae feels about that one.
Oh no shit, man. That yeah. It's like, oh, well. All right then. So
yeah.
But it's like everyone in wrestling's got something to cover up. It's just a matter of time before it comes out. Everyone. Like I know it's a blanket statement, but there's always something, you know? So but no, it's so but NXT like get back get try to stay on track, so I'm here for 2 hours this week. But overall, like the show was good, but like I love that Karrion Kross training package or whatever he was doing. That guy, I've never seen him live, so I don't know, like you know, if it's that drastically different or not. That's a scary ass man, dude. You know,
he is obviously really very well trained. Like I feel like I remember them mention some of that stuff when he was in Impact, but the NXT video packages are really something else. Like, yeah, I really love those things. And I guess that's why, again, like, I don't feel like that much happened in NXT, but that was one of a number of great video packages that they had kind of playing in to Stand and Deliver.
Yeah. Oh, that whole thing was good. This is where, like, AEW doesn't even do this. Like, Cross was talking about exactly his strategy and what he's going to do and how he thinks Finn Balor's going to do this. He was talking in, like, sports terms.
Oh.
So he goes, all right, so what am I going to do? I'm going to train to take him down quick. Yeah, that's pretty much what a fighter's mentality is.
Well, and
Finn,
he...
You know, gives his thing.
Yeah, and even Finn Balor kind of, with his part of the video package, played into it. Like, hey,
yeah.
no one can out-cardio me. Like, he's like, great, he's going to try to do that. It's not going to happen. Like, they did talk about that matchup like it was an MMA fight.
Yeah. And as much as I like that, and as much as I like this other angle, the Xia Li... Goofy, scary lady.
Tian Shan. I don't know what her name is. That's the group name, I believe.
Whole mist in the mouth thing. I went, this is on the same show? Like, wait, if this was like WWE, I get it. You know, we'd have Bray Wyatt, so sure.
Mai Ying.
Okay. I like Scary Lady on Cher better. But so... But no, like I still love the whole angle with this because it's a live-action Mortal Kombat. That's all that is.
Yes. Yep.
You've got the scary Chinese lady with her sitting in the chair. Then you got the other scary Chinese lady running around, like, doing karate moves and shit beforehand.
And whooping people's asses.
Yeah, and then you got scary karate man standing outside just in case. So it's like, I've seen this movie before. This should be really cool, and so far it has been. And like, it's Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro are playing the role perfectly. They are exactly where they should be.
They are babyface underdogs who are smaller than the competition, and they are both bump machines. Like they have made Xia Li look golden. Like, I guess I always thought, I always expected more of a push for Xia Li. So I'm a little bit surprised that it took this whole kind of rebirth with Tian Shan to kind of get to it. But, hey, whatever. Better late than never.
Well, apparently, I remember reading, like, even she even had some tweets before saying, hey, you guys gotta let me do my thing. It's like, I didn't move all the way to the United States to, like, sit at TV or train all the time. It's like, let me loose on TV, at least give me a chance. And that's what it appears like they're doing now. And so far, or to me, you know, it's working out just perfect.
Yeah, it's a really fun angle. Like, it's something different. Yeah, it's like you said, like it's and it is kind of interesting that it's mostly a female faction with just getting kind of a little bit of a nod support to Boa. Like you said, is something of a bouncer slash bodyguard situation.
Yeah, he's like the James Bond villain of it. I mean,
With
like he's the guy that throws the hat. Can't remember what his name was. So,
And I just watched Goldfinger like a week or two ago. An odd job.
that's right.
So, yeah, it is kind of interesting that he's the odd job of that group.
Yeah, 'cause he's got size, but that doesn't matter really. He can't. I'm gonna go out on a limb and think he can't talk. So, that's obviously gonna hold him back in WWE's world until they get NXT China running and they can send him over there, I guess. And I'm not even trying to be a smart ass about it, but I just figured that's what,
Oh, I would be unsurprised if that ends up happening.
Yeah, because that was supposed to be like their whole thing anyways. They're trying to get like NXT Japan, NXT this, NXT this, whatever else.
Yeah,
So,
franchise it out.
yeah, basically that's like WWE's way of taking over the world.
Yeah,
So,
try to kill the Indies, which they never will, but
yeah, no,
I don't think that's really their goal either. Like,
I don't think at all. I don't think they care because their
no.
biggest stars that have come up have been indie stars first. Maybe I guess except Roman Reigns. I don't think he ever wrestled indie wrestling at all. But look at the
Oh.
rest of them. They were all on the indies somewhere
Yeah.
before they got to WWE, NXT, whatever. So, but yeah, I'm trying to figure what else was on this show? Oh, Roderick Strong taking himself out of the match. I kind of dug that, even though it makes him look like kind of a pussy, but it's like, okay, you got your feelings hurt. God damn, you win a title. Like, he's also won that thing, what, three times? So it's like,
Oh,
okay. Or
yeah.
twice at least. So it's like, after a while, you're like, dude, been there, done that, whatever. So, but yeah, like Adam Cole and Roderick Strong had that
Oh.
weird basic instinct, like police. What is the police do? Interrogation stuff. That was weird.
Oh, I like that video package because they did the police thing, what, 2 weeks ago or something? Where they're the pull apart brawl kind of situation.
Yeah, I don't think that was part of it. I think they were just talking. Oh wait, or was that what that was supposed to be?
They were showing highlights of that past confrontation during the video package, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes more sense then. So,
But
but yeah,
yeah, I mean, that was another one where, yeah, again, I like their video packages. I like what they did with Cole and O'Reilly. But yeah, it's another one where if you're gonna have that type of pull apart brawl with Io Shirai and Raquel Gonzalez, you can't have O'Reilly and Cole doing the same exact thing.
right. Did
And
you have a
they've
problem?
already done it to boot, or at least they kind of had that pull apart at the contract signing. Like, I don't think
Yeah.
that. Did they get that physically involved before being pulled apart? I don't think they
No,
really
like
did.
the big angle with that happened off camera because
Oh,
Cole
yeah.
actually punched William Regal.
Oh,
And
yeah.
that was like off camera or after the show went off the air.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, so there were, you couldn't have two of the same type of angles taking place in fairly personal feuds. So yeah, it was good that they got a video package and that they weren't really on TV. And I think that they kind of hype more of the night one stuff than the night two stuff. Like,
I know what matches are going, and I know they told us. I still don't know where everything is. Like, what's on what night? I really don't.
yeah, they did a very good job of kind of spelling that out, but I'm with you. Like, I don't really specifically remember which is which.
Yeah. But I will tell you... Oh, no, no. All right, no. Io Shirai and Raquel Gonzalez are the main event of night one. They... I hope to God, for their sake, and this is not an indictment of either one of those women's talent, they better hope Ciampa and Walter are on first. So that by the time the other matches happen, we'll hopefully have forgotten about that. I have... and a ridiculously high hope for that match. I mean, Walter's awesome. And the fact that he can speak perfect English makes it more infuriating. He doesn't want to be over here. But whatever. I mean, we already saw how they treat him in the Survivor Series. So, but no, it's just... Ciampa's awesome. He's been awesome for how long now? And Walter's been great, too.
Yeah, I haven't seen enough of Walter's material to know that, but the people that, like you, that have watched it have really enjoyed his stuff, so...
You're doing yourself a disservice by not watching that Dragunov-Walter match.
Oh.
I've never seen... I mean, we've seen physical matches, right?
Right.
But... I've never seen, but it's always like some gimmick, you know, hardcore match, something like this, right? This was just two guys punching and smacking and doing whatever else, beating the shit out of each other for 20-something minutes, if not more. And it basically, at the end, he just kept beating Dragunov until he just couldn't take it anymore and got pinned.
Oh.
They're both beating the shreds. It was great. That's what I expect this to be like, to be honest. I really do. I expect the same sort of intensity and same sort of awfulness. And I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really be surprised. I mean, because Ciampa is a little bit smaller of a guy, but he does wrestle a bigger style.
Yeah.
Than his stature. Because him and Timothy Thatcher had a similar type of matchup. And... I feel like I just automatically put Walter in that kind of a camp, you know, as far as style of wrestling goes.
I think Walter's style is far more brutal, though.
No.
Because those chops, dude, are... I don't know how anyone says, yeah, I'll take one. I really don't. It's like we got a little bit of a taste of it with Ciampa the other night, but that's why I was like, they're putting Drake Maverick in the ring with him. Are they trying to kill this poor man? Like trying to get him to quit? But
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. The only one I don't really care about, which I'm sure is going to be good, is the tag match, the tag team championship.
Men's or women's?
Men's.
Because, that's the three-way.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
All good talent, but I just don't really care that much, you know?
Yeah, it really hurt that Wesley broke his hand the week after winning the Dusty Cup?
Yeah.
And obviously it didn't keep them out for too long, but it did... kill all the momentum of storytelling for the tag team division.
Right.
Exactly. And just at the wrong time for that to happen. Like, like you said, like, I like all three teams. Oh, and then what? Birch is out with a longer-term injury to, like, really fuck up the tag team. I forgot that. Because is that for the tag team championship to replace?
Yes. Because it was supposed to be...
a four-way.
MSK versus Birch and Lorcan. So they just decided to make this a tag match instead.
So. Yeah. They've just... just a bunch of bad circumstances for them.
Yeah.
Even if it just would have been the singles match, it still would have been tough to kind of get invested in it because of the time MSK... had off after the Dusty Cup.
Yeah, it's hard to care about somebody when they're out for a little, when they're there, and all of a sudden they're gone. you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Well, what happened? Because, you know, they did mention them. Like, hey, they're hurt, this and that, which is better than what they usually do is, yeah, they're just not here, so we're never going to acknowledge the fact they exist. Which, I understand you don't want to talk about people that aren't there, but goddamn, I mean, people are invested in other people, you know?
Well, and that's one thing I guess I have kind of liked a little bit more in AEW, is that they do acknowledge injuries in AEW.
Yeah.
Like more than the level that you're talking about. Because, like, I agree with you that, in general, I feel like NXT has done a better job of, like, hey, keep MSK, especially with MSK, like, hey, keep these guys in mind. Like, I guess it seemed like they knew it was going to be a shorter-term injury, so they kind of kept their name floating there. But,
yeah,
nothing pops you quite like being actually on TV.
Yeah, especially with, like, you know, he had a broken hand, so I guess, I don't know how quick that heals, but you can at least do something, because it's not like he's doing a bunch of power moves or anything, so
you can
get away with it that way.
Yeah.
So, but no, I'm definitely looking forward to next week, and I was explaining to Elise, like, you know, starting, the Hall of Fame is on Tuesday, right? Is that right?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'll have it on while I'm working.
Because, yeah, I was going to say, I'm still not going to watch it.
No.
The last time I watched it was when we attended it.
I've watched some others. Like the Mark Henry acceptance was really nice. I think I've watched all of them, actually. Some just stand out more than others, obviously, because that happens all the time. But I was telling her, like, starting, and I guess it's this week, actually, now that you think about it, Monday's Raw, Tuesday's Impact in the Hall of Fame, Wednesday, AEW, Stand and Deliver on Thursday, SmackDown, WrestleMania, Raw, NXT, AEW, TNA, if you want to put it that way, or Impact, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah.
SmackDown, rinse, repeat. Five straight days of wrestling, not including whatever else you may find somewhere else.
Yeah, whatever you can pull up on IWTV.com if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, well, shit, I mean, the NWA's back on Fight TV.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Ring of Honor, whenever that's on.
Saturday evenings.
Like, I record it.
Late at night.
Yeah, so Friday, then Saturday, then. And then Sunday, I guess we get a rest day, unless there's a pay-per-view. It's insanity, if you really think about it. That's not including, like, all the stuff you can find on Twitch and on YouTube. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, this has been one of the easiest transitions since I moved from... A, I feel like I remember wrestling better because I'm doing two wrestling shows a week now.
Yeah.
And I don't cloud my mind with all of those fun science-y stories.
Yeah, but I got other shit to watch, man.
Yeah, but then that is the other problem, is that in general, I feel like for the show, we've just got to decide what to watch and go from there. Because, yeah, there is a lot of professional wrestling out there to pick. And, we're kind of going with the old standards because they're still the best standards for the most part.
Yeah, I struggle to get into MLW even though they have talent. They have good stuff and they just got really dumb shit too. No. Enough to where I'm like, I don't care. Whatever. I'll tell you what, I know you don't watch Impact that often, but you were talking about, like, sometimes if you miss AEW or something, you can catch up. Impact does a very good job of putting the main points on their YouTube page. So you can catch all the angles, interviews, all that stuff on their YouTube page. So you can keep up with that so much easier now. So
yeah,
whoever runs their social media stuff does a good job.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll pop over there sometime. Okie doke.
Easily digestible 3-minute videos.
Good.
So
that's something I like to hear.
Yep.
I'm going to talk about beer now so that we can actually come in under 2 hours.
Yep, sounds good.
Zaftig Brewing, right in the shadows of Anheuser-Busch, is where their main facility is. And this one was their One Night Stand series, Batch 405 India Pale Ale. I do like me an experimental beer. And I don't know specifically what hops are in this one, but 6% alcohol, and I'm going to guess that they have the same grain bill, but they're just swapping out hops. And this one was pretty delicious. Not terribly piney for a regular style IPA, honestly. A little bit on the fruity side, and I am going to approve anytime. not a specific hop that I could seem to pull out of there. What did you have on your side of the?
Mine's 13 Stripes out of Taylor, South Carolina, which is, or Taylor's, excuse me, South Carolina. It's Greenville, just whatever. it's called 13 Stripes Freeborn Hazy IPA. 13 Stripes is one of the most unheralded breweries around there. Usually gets lost in the shuffle with Birds Fly South and Thomas Creek, which is very fair because Thomas Creek is great, always has been. But Birds Fly gets a lot of the pub because they make different sours in that. Where 13 Stripes just makes good beer. And if you're ever down this way, it's honestly, I can't recommend it more. Even though I live in a city with 35 breweries now. Or something like that. When I have to go back to Greenville to see my parents, it's usually a place I'd like to try to go, but it's very difficult because it's built in one of those, those industrial areas that they're trying to revitalize.
Oh.
So it kind of gives the appearance that you're going into a horror movie. So. Yeah. So. But their facility is very nice. It's just the surrounding area they have to get through to get to it. Kind of sucks. So
yeah, there are a few of those in town here. So I can I understand.
Yeah, it's like everyone's got to start somewhere, man. You know.
Yep. So. Most of those places end up trying to get an offshoot bar somewhere else now. Like everyone's franchising bars now seems to be the thing.
Well, ours now is everyone puts food in their breweries, which I understand because you're having a food truck come in. You have to pay for regardless if someone eats there or not. So why not just have a kitchen? You make all the money. So.
Yep.
As long as it's good, who cares? So.
Yeah, I was unsurprised when that change happened.
No. I can't say I was either. So, as long as the food's good, too. Don't care.
Yep. Agreed. At DeFrango11, at Granny Maze, at Stunt Granny is the brand. Rate and review us on all the places, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, any number of places you can download this fine-ass podcast. Have a good night.